Holiday season has officially started, which means it's holiday party time, despite the recession. So each week in December, we will be joined by our food and entertaining gurus, Zora O'Neill and Tamara Reynolds. They are the authors of Forking Fantastic, Put the Party Back in Dinner Party. Twice a month, they host the Sunday Night Dinner Supper Club. They have fed hundreds of friends and strangers over the years, and they will join us each week to talk about unique aspects of cooking and hosting during the holidays. Today, entertaining on a budget. In the coming weeks, we'll talk about food gifts and last-minute party planning, and each time we'll take your calls and questions. So Zora O'Neill and Tamara Reynolds, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for agreeing to do this month with us.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having us.
And our lines are open for planning a holiday party on a budget. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And you two are queens of the DIY, do-it-yourself party planning. So is the first thing to think about when entertaining on a budget potluck?
It's totally a viable option, but it doesn't have to be a potluck. There are other ways to go about it.
We are big fans of sort of spreading the expense around a little bit, though. Even if you don't want to go full potluck, you can definitely tell people to bring wine or booze, or if you want to throw a party. We're also big about, you know, spreading around the labor as well.
Yes.
If you're having a tree trimming party or something like that, like, have other people bring the supplies. Everybody wants to help. So you want to give them a reason to.
You can do that. You can invite people to your party and assign them things to do or things to bring.
Absolutely.
In advance.
Absolutely. Usually when you invite someone over, the first question out of their mouths is, oh, I would love to, you know, I would love to come. What can I bring?
And usually the answer is, oh, just bring yourself.
Right. But I think we're coming to the end of that time, sort of like we're entering the end of the age of weddings with open bars. I don't believe anybody really truly expects you to bear all of the cost for every single party that you have. I mean, at the very least, like Zora said, they can bring wine or beer or something to drink. Or, you know, let's say that you've decided, oh, I really want to have people over and I'm going to make all these little Scooby snack hors d'oeuvre types of things. But I'm no good at dessert and I'm not even inspired. Somebody who's coming to your dinner, I swear to you, they want to make dessert. They want to make their grandmother's special Bûche Noël, or they want to make some other cookies or macaroons or something like that.
So, listeners, what's the most unusual thing that you have ever assigned a guest to bring to your party? 212-433-WNYC. Because you know, usually people, you do all the work, and then everybody brings a bottle of wine. So then you've done all this work, you have to clean up,
yes,
and you have 25 bottles of wine. 212-433-WNYC or 43 chocolate cakes. 212-433-9692. What's the most unusual or creative thing you have ever assigned someone to bring to your dinner party? 212-433-9692. And you guys have talked about assigning people to bring chairs,
yes,
and cutlery. Do you really say that? You say, like, bring 12 steak knives.
Well, each person brings one, you know,
right,
and then they know which one is theirs because they brought it. It sort of helps. They don't have to leave it behind.
No. We expect them to take them home, but it can be helpful. Let's say you have 16 people coming over and you want to serve a soup and you can't bring yourself to buy plastic, and you shouldn't. There's no need. Your friends, they all have one spoon that they can bring.
How about assigning people to help out during the party? Because we've all been to parties where,
yes,
the host is doing all the work. There are one or two generous souls, usually women. No, always women.
Always women. Usually Catholic, yes.
And hang around in the kitchen and help while everybody else parties.
Yes.
Can you assign help?
Yeah, definitely. I often put somebody in charge of picking out music. This is always good. And once people have a task, then they don't feel like quite such a misfit at the party. I think it can be intimidating to show up and be like, hey, hi. But if everybody has a little task to do.
Someone can set the table. Someone can help you arrange the food before you plate it, maybe, if you're putting out platters of things or things like that. Someone else can go and make sure that everybody, you know, gets seated. If you're seating people at a particular time, you can ask someone to get people seated for you.
Zora O'Neill and Tamara Reynolds, authors of Forking Fantastic. But you see how well I pronounce very specifically. I've never pronounced
scared
an R. So Forking Fantastic, Put the Party Back in Dinner Party. They'll be with us once a week until Christmas. Allison in Sparta, what did you assign somebody to bring?
I assigned somebody to bring a babysitter because...
Oh, brilliant.
I love it.
All my friends were in our mid-30s and 40s. We want to have an adult party, but of course, we have so many people with babies. So I said to my girlfriend, bring a babysitter. We'll have the kids downstairs in the basement, and that way we can still enjoy ourselves. If you want to check on your kids, that way there's not five babysitters, you know, assigned, and it's helping everybody with costs.
That is very smart.
That's one of the most genius suggestions I've ever heard, and we're stealing it.
Oh, great.
That is really great. And did the babysitter charge a special group rate?
Well, you know, we have some teens that are downstairs and they're going to be looking at, but there's one babysitter she's going to be getting for every child, $7 an hour.
Wow.
For every child.
Cha-ching.
Wow.
You know, indeed.
And she's banking. They're banking, but, you know, and in our town, they have babysitting classes. And so it's, you know, it helps a teenager. They're 17. And we have another teenager that's 15 that's helping out. So she's getting some money, too. But it just makes it fun for all the adults not to worry about going home. The kid is down. The kids are downstairs.
That's great. That's great. Allison, thank you. That's going to be in your next book.
Absolutely. I'm running home to write it down right now.
Yvonne on our webpage writes, on our blog, I don't know what her blog is, but we always recommend that people bring what they drink. Nothing worse than a guest who brings a bottle of wine and then goes after the vodka. We'll let that stand.
That's well put. Yes.
Catherine in Tuxedo. You're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
Good morning. I'm so glad you're running this series, and I called last time, but the calls were off the hook, so I'm calling again to ask how I can get my guests to come on time. I have so many guests that show up early, and it drives me crazy, and then I have guests that show up like 2 hours late, and the steak is burnt, and they complain. So how do you get people to just come on time?
Sounds like your friends are off the hook.
I know.
People come early? I mean, there's such a thing as... what, late, chic, what's that phrase? Appropriately late or...
Fashionably late.
But there's no such thing as fashionably early,
No.
I guest blogged this summer on the apartment therapy blog, and the first the first rule I said for being a guest at a dinner party, the most important thing was, please don't come early. If you're early, walk around the block. Stand outside and peer in front of in other people's windows. Make a phone call. Call your mother. You know, take 10 minutes and really use it to your advantage and to your host's advantage by, please don't ever come early. The last minutes, I mean, I'm usually naked 5 minutes before you're supposed to be at my house. And you don't want to see that, frankly. Like, it's just not.
Yeah, maybe do that once and it'll train them forever.
There you go. Catherine, good luck.
Thank maybe, you.
People, I guess, should ask, would you like me to come early and help? Now, what about for people who are bringing the drinks, you know, taking Yvonne's blog post to heart there, the one who brings the bottle of wine and goes right for the vodka. Bottles of wine, you know, aren't always cheap, and they go pretty fast. What's a good budget option? Eggnog, mulled cider, other holiday punch?
You can do great things with supermarket eggnog and a ton of booze. About 2 quarts of eggnog will support, like, at least a liter of brandy or something, whatever you want to dump in there. It's really good if you can let it mix it together and let it sit in your fridge for about a week, and then you serve very small servings of it.
Right.
It lasts a long time.
And it's drinks like spiced cider and eggnog are very rich, and so people aren't going to have 5 glasses of that versus wine. It's very easy to have 5 small glasses of wine. Another really great idea is if someone has brought cheap wine to your house that you know for a fact really sucks, you can save it all up and make a mulled wine with it. This is the perfect time of year of that.
Great
you
vehicle.
You dump some sugar in, you dump some cinnamon and allspice and cloves. You can maybe do the old trick that my mother used to do, which you take an orange, just a cheap Florida juice orange, and stick cloves in it and then float it in the wine. Stir it all up, heat it up, and cheap wine has never tasted so good as it does in a mulled wine.
Andy in White Plains, you're on WNYC. What have you assigned people to bring?
We have a Boxing Day party every year, and in the spirit of Boxing Day, the people bring one leftover from their Christmas dinner and the cheapest bottle of champagne that they can find, and we have a contest for the Cheap Drunk of the Year Award. I build a trophy each year. It's slightly different. and the people actually compete for it because the next year the winner gets to host the party at their house. And, of course, some people refuse to go for the bottom end, and they will bring a very, very nice bottle of champagne, which, of course, we as the host and with them drink it early, and they get an award for the high roller.
Put an orange slice in that.
I know. Wow, that's another idea we might have to steal. I want that trophy. I'll be there.
Andy, can you send us pictures of those trophies, please?
Andy, if you want to upload those pictures to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org, feel free to do it, and we'll pass it on to Tamara and Zora. By the way, Yvonne is back to say that her blog, because I said I don't know what her blog is, she said she's one of twins, Yvonne and Yvette, I guess, and it says our blog is called Yvonne and Yvetiquette.
Oh, nice.
With the Y's in the right place. Yvonne and Yvetiquette, if you want to look up their blog. Do you like holiday cook-offs? You like this idea? You make the party a competition over who can make the best chili, for instance. You incentivize the competitors with some kind of prize or just bragging rights. Sounds like Andy was a little bit onto that kind of thing with the drinks. And then you end up with lots of food?
We're not so into food as a competition so much. And, I mean, I love the idea of a cook-off because it gives everybody something to do and a concrete way to participate. But then you just end up with 80 kinds of chili, which is a little alarming.
That's a lot of chili to eat over the night when you're going to be with other people.
And we want to get to one recipe that you brought before we go. This isn't really a recipe series, but we'll throw in one here and there. You've suggested a recipe for what you call crack ham, which I have to say as carefully as the name of your book. No, really, it's not cracked ham. It's crack ham. We've posted a link to your recipe on our show page. Is it legal?
Absolutely, completely legal for everyone over the age of 21.
Yes, it is dangerously addictive, however, quite legal. Yeah, it's just plain old pink supermarket ham glazed in brown sugar and bourbon and a couple other things and baked in the oven.
Yeah, orange juice and Dijon and molasses.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you just bake it in the oven. Cheap ham feeds the hordes like nothing else. You will be such a star, I cannot tell you. Everybody will be like, oh, my God, where did you get this? And you can tell them or not.
Does the alcohol cook off in terms of its
punch?
Yes, it does.
It absolutely does. Yeah, so you can feed it to children under the age of 10.
We haven't seen any adverse effects.
No.
Next Thursday, when you come back, we're going to be talking about food gifts. So listeners, think about what you could make as edible gifts and come up with your ideas and your questions for Zora and Tamara. Do you want to give any homework assignment other than that along those lines?
No, I think that sets them on the right path.
Absolutely. Cheaper is better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we got some great fodder there for giving assignments to your friends and relatives when you have your holiday parties and don't want to do all the work or all the cooking. Tamara Reynolds and Zora O'Neill will join us once a week all through the month of December. They are the authors of Forking Fantastic, Put the Party Back in Dinner Party.
Oh, thanks for having us. And I just wanted to add, if you can't wait to see us till next week or hear from us, we're going to be in Astoria at Site Designs.
3511 34th Avenue tonight for a book signing, and there will be wine and food, all free.
Great. Thanks, guys.